Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Zion, the 7th chapter of the book of Tehillim. This is a little bit of a longer Mizmor than the ones we've been doing up till now. It is 18 psukim long and is broken up into a number of steps. Just to see a general overview, we're going to look at the structure as is given to us by Rav Amas Chacham, who is the editor of the Dat Mikra version of Tehillim, and he suggests the following. Of course, we have the first line, which is the Kotevet, the inscription, which is Shigayon LaDavid. It is a Shigayon, we'll try to study that word in a moment. For David, Asher Shar LaHashem, who sings to Hashem, Adirei Kush Benyamini, on a fellow called Kush Benyamini, an enigmatic person, we'll try to explore that later. What is the general flow? The first two psukim after that, from Beis to Gimel, is begging for salvation. Hoshi eini mikol red fai vatzileni, Hashem, please save me, because I am on the point of destruction. Then, psukim dalad to vav, he makes an oath that he did not do what he was accused of. He says, Hashem alokai, im asisi zois, im yesh ovo b'chapa, if I did everything that they're accusing me, then you know what, then let them take my life. But his point is, I was not guilty of all the things they accused me of. We move on to the next section, Zayin Teches. In this one, he summons Hashem, he beseeches, Kumo Hashem ba'pecha, hinosei ba'avrois tzorera. Please take revenge against my enemies for all the terrible things they've accused me of incorrectly. Finally, in Psukim Tes to Yud, this next section, he talks about begging for not just destroying the enemies, but vindication that his ideas will ultimately prevail and be seen as true. Moving on to the next section, Yud Aleph to Yud Dalet, we can see a progression here. He talks about how he expresses his trust in Hashem. Mogini al Elohim, Moshiach Yisraelev, I know Hashem is ultimately going to be the just one. He's going to protect me all the way through. Tes Vov to Yud Zion, the next step of the seven-step process is where his trust that the evil will ultimately fall, which is similar to this, and a last pasuk being that he's going to accept and thank Hashem for the salvation. So it seems that there seems to be a shift in tone all the way through. At the beginning, he seems much more desperate. At the beginning, he's crying out because he's being falsely accused and persecuted. Towards the end, he moves towards a place of serenity, a place of trust, a place of knowing that Hashem will ultimately look after him. This relates directly to the central theme. It seems like the Meshorer, the person who's narrating, David HaMelech, who is speaking in this Mizmor, is being threatened by enemies, and the enemies seem to be people who were on his side. Because the way these people work is it seems to be that they are actually talking about David from inside information. They're using his trust, his relationships against him, and that's what hurts him so much. That's why David HaMelech is so pained by them. You see that although, the Dat Mikra points out, that although it seems to be written from an individual perspective, it seems like the person speaking is clearly representing a larger community, a larger expression of people in his leadership. And there seems to be an oscillation of this voice of hope and desperation in the Mizmor, moving towards a place of trust, a place of serenity as he moves towards the end, knowing that Hashem is going to protect him. One of the key questions to understanding this is, what is the event or in the past that is behind this Mizmor? What is David HaMelech responding to that warrants this Mizmor? So our first clue, of course, is in the first line, in the Kotevet. In this line, he talks about how he's singing about Divrei Kush Benyamini. So our first clue should be, who is Kush Benyamini? So the Malim says, well, we don't have to do too much creative thinking. Kush is probably a enemy of David. David HaMelech had many enemies. He had many people who pursued him, who persecuted him. Not all of them were recorded in Sefer Shmuel to know exactly who they were. So this is another one of David HaMelech's enemies, and this is the person who has persecuted him. Simple as that. So we're being introduced to a new enemy. The Radak says, quoting the Chazal, very famously, that this actually refers to Shaul HaMelech. Why is Shaul HaMelech called this way? First of all, Shaul came from the tribe of Binyamin. That's what it means, Ben-Yamini. Benjaminite is from that tribe. Why is he being called Chush? Chush generally is a description for a person of darker skin color. Why is that description being used over here? So Chazal described this in Moed Katan, that the point over here is to accentuate distinction. And that means to say that Shaul HaMelech, on the one hand, was very distinct in his looks. He was exceedingly handsome. That's one distinction of Shaul HaMelech. On the other hand, David HaMelech is pointing towards the fact that his actions were also distinct. They were terrible. They were so hateful. They were almost illogically hateful of David HaMelech. And that being the case, therefore he's being pigeonholed as being a completely distinct, distinct from everybody else individual by his actions and his looks. That's what the Radak suggests. So therefore, he is actually referring to that enemy from within. In fact, following this train of thought, Rashi actually identifies when in his life he could have actually said this. Rashi says it was when he cut the end of the cloak of Shaul HaMelech. What does this refer to? If you look in Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Dalet, you will see that at the end of, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Dalet, that is when David HaMelech is hiding in refuge in a cave near Ein Gedi, just by where the Dead Sea is now. And Shaul HaMelech comes into the cave that David and his men are hiding. Shaul has come to relieve himself. David HaMelech is able to creep up just behind him and is about to kill him, and then has second thoughts, cuts the edge of the garment of Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul HaMelech leaves the cave, he runs out after Shaul and he holds it up and he says to Shaul in a most powerful speech, and he says, look, you'd say that your advisors are saying that I'm trying to kill you. If I wanted to kill you, I could have killed you just 5 minutes ago. But you know what? And here's the edge of your garment. But you should know something. And this is when he turns very, very powerful words. He says, Yishpoit Hashem beini uveinecha. Hashem should judge between the two of us. V'nokmasi Hashem mimecha. And Hashem unakomani Hashem mimeka. Hashem should avenge me of you. V'yodi loy siyebach. I won't kill you, Shaul, but you will die because of the terrible things that you did to me. You are running after me, and I have no intent to harm you. That's what David HaMelech says to him. What Rashi's commenting is, in those heavy emotions of the person who is, on the one hand, his father-in-law, his benefactor, his role model, his predecessor, who's cut him off, who's taken away his wife, taken away his career, taken away his serenity in life, everything. That's all that emotion pent up. That is what David HaMelech is saying. This mizmor appears right then. That's when David HaMelech was saying this. One other permutation that Rashi gives us to this is that it could be when David HaMelech stayed in the city of Nov, Ir HaKohanim. David found refuge when he was first running from Shaul HaMelech in the city of Nov, which was where, in fact, the Aaron was in residence. It was a city purely of Kohanim, and because it was found out that he was staying in that city overnight and that they provided him arms and food, ultimately the whole city was massacred because of Doeg HaAdomi. And therefore, David HaMelech, when he is pondering this, is actually the pain that you're hearing this mizmor, according to this version of Rashi, is really the pain of the guilt he feels for having been there, which is why the word shigayon can refer to a mistake. That therefore, it's his mistake of having been there because his enemies are going to surround him and kill innocent people on his behalf, the terrible pain that he bears in this mizmor. So a few different options as to what event this could be relating to and the different emotions that they could be triggering in David HaMelech at this particular time. Where does this mizmor appear outside of the book of Tehillim? So Maseches Sofrim tells us that this is actually a mizmor which should be said on Purim, with another suggestion that Cush ben Yamini refers to Mordechai, who is also a Benjaminite, and that Tzorarai, the enemies, are Haman. We don't follow this practice, but nonetheless, that is an intriguing option as to where it could have, or perhaps there was a minhag to say this mizmor in Tehillim, in another realm. Finally, just in Psukim in the spotlight, one is the word Shigayon. What does it mean? So Shigayon can mean a mistake, and Chazal say that David HaMelech was mistaken to pray against Shaul HaMelech. He was mistaken to call him Cush, to say that he was distinct because of his sins. That was going too far, and that's what David HaMelech admits in this mizmor, that it was too far. Or it could just simply be, as the Radak says, it's a musical instrument. This is Shigayonos. You see in Chavakuk, the word is used for Shigayonos, the beginning of the third perek. It's a musical instrument. Two brief psukim in the spotlight, and one is a very famous statement, saying today a very famous idiom which comes directly from this Tehillim, which is Bor Karo Vayachbareu Vayipol B'Shachas Yifol, that a person digs a pit and deepens it, and he'll fall into the trap he made. That's, you know, referring to a hunter in the woods who digs a hole and covers it with leaves, and the animal falls in, and he falls into his own trap. So the Kav Hayasha, which is a Kabbalistic work from the 1700s, says the most beautiful thing, and he says that's why it is that when Haman put up that tree in his backyard to hang Mordechai, he was hanged on the same tree. That's this idea of the pit that he dug is going to be the same place of his downfall. And he says that's why the minhag is ultimately to make a noise when you hear the name of Haman, to eradicate his name, just like he wanted to eradicate our name, which is a continuing of that same idea of falling into the same pit that they try to dig for us. Last pasuk, which is worthwhile focusing on, is pasuk Yud Beis, which is Elohim Shofet Tzadik, Hashem is a true judge. Vekel Zoem B'choyom, Hashem gets angry or pronounces doom, as is translated, every day. The Gemara in Brachos Zayin Amar tells us that there is a moment, there is an aperture in time, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows, therefore, to be din, unadulterated judgment in the world. And in fact, that was what Bilam HaRasha, the prophet Bilam, was trying to utilize. He was trying to find that moment and utilize it against the nation of Israel. And the Gemara says that Hashem, in benevolence to the nation of Israel, overcame that moment and did not allow that moment to be utilized by an evil person of Bilam, thereby preserving Israel from that enemy, which could be an additional layer of meaning of what David HaMelech is thanking for, is the enemies who try to utilize our own or the meridians within this world against us. In the meantime, a wonderful and meaningful day.